first real game, right? You had the preseason where we got to work on some things, and now this is, it's time to go. I love competitive football, right? You get to the regular season, and it's time to go. Throw everything out there and ride it till the wheels fall off.
Meanwhile, picking and threading his way is Cook. He's out in front, and Cook will take it all the way for a touchdown.
It's a good team. I don't see nothing on the front office or the staff, but the players are there good. You know, all the that came out is lies. But I'm glad you asked about that Texas. You got me pissed now.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate you.
Hey, you're good. Is that a good thing?
That's a great thing.
To go play football against a really, really good team that was obviously in the playoffs last year. We understand what their defense is and has been. Those guys are going to be ready to play. They got after us last year. There's no secret about it. But just trying to have a good week, prepare the way that we need to prepare to go out there and execute the way that we want to execute.
I think it's safe to say that our luck has officially turned around, guys. We are back, baby. We are back. We're back.
I love you, Josh Allen!
Saturday, another Sports Talk Saturday. One day out from the Bills, season officially beginning. Joe Cali here with you, Derek Kramer as well. And how excited are you, Derek? I mean, we're sitting here one day out officially, preview season for a game, not preview season for will Joe Brady be able to get the job done. It's pretty exciting. It's exciting times.
We have pregame starting tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Better than that. Better than that, we have a game starting tomorrow.
It is exciting. Are you nervous? I think I wasn't, and now I'm getting a little nervous.
It's kind of funny. Over the course of like the past several weeks, my nerves about this game have gone down. I am excited. This is a great first test, and I know that I have a chance to potentially have that backfire on me in terms of the mindset in live time, as a matter of fact. You're starting pregame 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking
till
the
9
mantle.
O'clock.
You're taking the mantle of Breakfast with the Bills.
We're coming up with a new name for that, by the way. We can workshop some today. Coffee with Callie was mentioned at the end of the morning show yesterday. Morning moggings with Joe was also a thing. So I don't know. We'll have to.
Well, it's got to be game day related though too. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, we'll workshop it. But go ahead. The rest of the lineup.
And then, of course, we've got Bills game day. Well, otherwise, it'll just be
Buffalo
game day.
Football game day.
Buffalo football game day. Countdown to kickoff. And then, of course, the Buffalo game cast, where I will be jumping in at 1 o'clock with Zach Jones. And Nate Geary will join us as he'll be driving in from on location for his pregame coverage. He'll end up driving into the studios eventually to join us. But yeah, then we've got post game. Shelton Bulldog will take that over. Overtime show with Nate once again. It's as if the more things change, the more they stay the same. This is the first year that we're not carrying the Bills broadcasts officially, but we have our own thing going on. And we gave it a nice little test run in the preseason. We did a great job with it. Joe, I remember the first pregame that you did for the preseason game where you went 4 hours solo. That was fantastic work, by the way.
Much appreciated. That was a lot of fun. So I'm excited to do it for the regular season
and now
start
you get
the day off.
Now you get to start things off for us for our first new venture into the Bills game day broadcasts here on WGR. So that's going to be huge. You're going to be able to set the tone, start things off. So get these nerves out of your system here, Callie. We've got people to get inspired throughout
the
morning.
I don't know if it's actually nervousness. I think it's just, you know, how am I going to put this? You know, when I used to swim, when I used to compete, it used to be I felt like I had to use the restroom to go potty, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the similar kind of feeling, like just the adrenaline, the anxiousness of I want to see Josh Allen play a meaningful snap of football. I think this could be. I don't necessarily know if it's anxiousness over the opponent that is the Houston Texans or not, but I'm feeling excited. I should say I want to try and excite the audience out there today, and you know we're nearing the first game at Highmark too. So that'll be good. Next Thursday, a short week off the bat.
By the way,
for the Bills.
Yeah, the next time we do this show, two games will have been played.
We'll be recapping two games and looking to the next week at that point. We'll have a pretty good sample size of what the Buffalo Bills will be putting on the field with two solid teams. The Houston Texans with their defense and the Lions as well, pretty solid team. They'll give anyone a run for their money. So, you know, biting kneecaps off with Dan Campbell. I don't know if I want to get too excited about the Texans because I think we've seen. Let's go into the games we've seen in the sample size that we have of NFL football this season.
Real quick, because I know you have feelings about those.
Yes. Yeah.
It is going to be something with this game and having the pregame finally happening here and being able to talk about the game itself. With the season that was, the off season that was for the Buffalo Bills, it's just going to feel good watching football happen again for them. Because
I think more than years past.
The preseason
there's actually
even,
differences.
The preseason even healed us a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now to get the regular season underway, this is going to be, like as Joe Brady has said, let's put the ball down. I'm excited. So
you're adopting put the ball down?
Put the ball down. Put the ball down is like drop the puck. Let's go. It's,
yeah, pretty much, right?
It's
yeah.
The perfect saying. It's
you just don't want to put the ball down mid-play, guys. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, but we know what he means is what he means.
I know.
And that's exactly why I love the saying. Like, yeah, no, when a saying is fantastic like that, you co-opt that saying as many times as you need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Very good.
So it's the perfect saying.
I think he's going to be good. I was worried about him at the start. But everything we've seen from him, how he's handled any kind of adversity so far, right? The C.J. Gardner-Johnson streaming in the locker room, he shut that down right away and did, you know, it worked. We were worried that he was going to be a Mike McDaniel player's coach that was just going to get taken over like he did by the Dolphins, right? And totally usurped leadership-wise. That's not the case, it seems, right now. And I know it's just the preseason, but he's already handled things pretty well there. The game style, you know, where we saw a little bit of it in week one of the preseason against the Panthers with the starters, but there's no even game planning really going on there. You're just kind of throwing stuff at the wall out there in the preseason. So I'm really excited to see how he handles himself in the regular season, how this Bills team does. And we're about 24 hours, we're 26 hours away from kickoff, just under that at this point tomorrow. So we're nearing the turn. 803-0550, the number to call. How excited are you? Are you nervous for this Texans matchup? Are you feeling confident in Joe Brady's ability to lead this team? Are you excited for Jim Leonard? I think that's one of the more exciting pieces of what we're going to be seeing and how this defense is going to operate. So who knows? It could be defense versus defense tomorrow. The Bills defense is shutting down C.J. Stroud and the Texans. So give us a call, 803-0550. We'll be looking to hear from you throughout the show today. We're wide open for you on the entire show. We're doing a big preview show. But Derek, if it's all right, now when we look back to the games that have occurred and maybe kind of it's a similar note, I feel like, to Bills, Texans, Patriots, Seahawks, right? Dominant defense, quarterback who's mobile. Maybe he's not Josh Allen, don't get me wrong. And you have a good team around him, some solid receivers, and they just couldn't get the job done even against Drew Lock because of that defense, right? And Drew Lock was able to lead the Seattle Seahawks to a victory on the opener. And I don't know what it might just be because there's very little football that's happened, right? And especially the day after that game, it was getting ready for the Rams game. But that was the only sample of real football we had gotten in hundreds of days. At this point, Drake May might as well be in the same conversation as Nate Peterman, I feel like. That's what everyone is saying online, right?
Yeah.
I'm not proclaiming that. But that's what the Takepocalypse has gone so far to say, that Drake May is just a bum, essentially. Am I wrong on that? Maybe I'm a little extreme with the Nate Peterman comp. But
yeah, probably.
That's what I'm seeing online at this point.
The vibe it is also something that when you give a long enough of a track record, oh boy, I have a college football thing, and I'm going to put a pin in that.
Okay. But we'll put a pin in it.
Got to put a pin in this. So when it comes to May and his performance, the problem with him is that he's also given a long enough track record now, even in a season where he ended up finishing second in MVP voting. The problem being, he hasn't given you enough. He hasn't given you a good performance since week 17 against the New York Jets. The nickname The Schedule is becoming a thing.
So Drake, the Schedule May is real. I will die on that hill. That is real.
So, of course, when you get enough of a track record of these five games in a row where you've played, quite frankly, badly, people are going to start saying things. Is it hyperbolic? Yes, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sports takes are always going to get that way.
Especially with the first game being played. Everyone wants to have an opinion.
It's overreactions to week one. That's overreactions to any game, really. Now, I don't think May is going to be a bum. However, I will relish in every game that he plays poorly because he plays for the New England Patriots. So it's not his fault. And I feel sorry for him in that circumstance only.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vrabel already helped that because I was struggling to hate the Patriots last year because I thought Vrabel was like, I was like, this guy's a good coach. Like, I like Mike Vrabel.
Oh, no, I hated him from his Tennessee days, too.
I know you hate Tennessee. I know you do.
But like, I knew that was going to happen. But I hated him from his Tennessee days, too. It's not just because he was the former Titans coach.
Right.
He also
But I guess
was,
we found a reason to not like all that much.
He was also a linebacker for their Super Bowl winning teams. It's easy to hate Mike Vrabel. I don't know why you had these problems, man.
I just kind of like the way he coached the team, I guess. But now I'm rooting for the downfall. So let's just say that.
So yeah, Drake May is an unfortunate bystander in terms of...
Yeah, he'll be a casualty of those feelings for a long time. So it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, but yeah, no, I'm going to relish in those. I'm going to relish in the takes happening. You want to know why? Because I'm sick of hearing takes about how like, oh, Josh Allen is the best PR in the whole league. Blah, 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 blah. Like, stop. Everyone stop. Yeah. Everyone stop having bad takes. Everyone start thinking, please.
I got this tweeted at me.
Sorry, Joe.
You're all right. I got this tweeted at me. New England's last 22 opponents, right? Earlier this week. 11 of them fired their head coach and 12 played a quarterback who was a backup or benched. Only 5 out of 22 games were not affected this way. That's their entire last season. 22 games. The entire playoff run. The Super Bowl. And the... your regular season.
And you think about it, 2 of those are the Bills out of that 5.
Right. So take a division opponent out of that. So only 3 out of the 22 games were like, you know what I'm saying?
But even it's contextually, the Bills games last year, Joe, they need everything to go right in a poor game to win that 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then they collapse against the Bills, holding a 20-point lead and lose that game.
I know, that was the best. That might have been my favorite game of the last 2 years, I got to say.
So
just totally getting New England shut down. It was fantastic. Fantastic. I just think the Drake May hate's gone a little too far, though, if I may. I really, if I may, for Drake May, I think it's gone a little too far. I think the 3 picks are bad. Don't get me wrong. But I see a lot of Bills fans crapping on him and a lot of just fans in general crapping on him. And I'm thinking to myself, was it not 3 years ago that Josh Allen threw 3 interceptions to Whitehead in the Jets opener? I mean, week one is a liar. I know everyone's been saying that all week, but week one is a liar. They lost to the Vegas Raiders in week one last season. Pete Carroll's Raiders, if I may.
Yeah.
So, listen, as much as it's fun to jump on the Patriots hate wagon, let's not act like Drake May's not a good quarterback. I think that's where I stand on this.
I think
because we're going to be unassuming, and all of a sudden the unthinkable is going to happen, and he's going to put up a fantastic game against the Buffalo Bills. You know,
I think that because Drake May is probably a good quarterback, yet you get the hate while you can. You dish the hate and appreciate the bad games that he's going to play while you can.
I can respect that.
Yeah, I think that's where that comes from. Like. Maybe it's a little bit of an insecurity sort of thing, like, you know, knowing that he's going to end up being good again at some point during the year. So you take the bad game and you hate on it while you can because you know he's going to be an annoying presence in your rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think it's Bills... have fun with it. Get hyperbolic about it, honestly. If you want to have fun with it, have fun with it. Because isn't that the point of being a fan? Sometimes throwing, you know, something goofy out there, knowing that it's goofy, just to upset a fan base that has always upset you.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. Why not? Also, a note from that game, A.J. Brown dealing with an ankle injury. He's on injured reserve as of yesterday. They put him on injured reserve. So they play the Bills in week 4. That won't happen, right? A.J. Brown will not be on the field for the Bills at that point?
Correct.
Or for the Patriots against the Bills? Because you got to wait until 4 weeks to get him off injured reserve.
You have to sit out 4 games,
yes. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so immediate... I mean, I'm not going to celebrate an injury, but I mean, someone's got to be excited back there that you're not going to be dealing with that guy on defense, you know? And someone on the Patriots is potentially getting fired for suggesting to trade Kayshon Booty in the front office, I think, at that point. But, you know, we'll head to the phones quickly here. We'll get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Jerry in Kenmore. Jerry, what you got for us? Happy Saturday.
You know, I think one of the things that people confuse about, like, a hatred for someone, I do not hate Drake May or the Patriots. I hate Patriot fans. I do not hate the Yankees. I hate Yankee fans. I'll tell you one thing about the Yankees that I hated the most, okay? I grew up watching the Yankees. No, you didn't. We had TBS. We watched the Braves. Channel 29 was the Mets. The Canadian station was the Blue Jays. You did not grow up watching the Yankees. This whole Patriots, every time they win 3 games in a row, it's a changing of the guard. The AFC East, we have the new, you know, like this. And then in the first quarter, there's guys tweeting, I think we're going to go 17-0. You didn't score the rest of the game. You know, it's the fan bases that are hard to take. You know, you're on Twitter. These Lamar apologists are unbelievable, and I'm sure they think about the Josh Allen apologists. It's not a hate of Drake May or the Patriots. It's their goofy fans.
Jerry,
yeah,
perfect.
Yes, I couldn't have said it better myself, Jerry. I 1,000% agree with you. I will push back on one thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be a Yankees fan.
Yes,
right?
You do.
More on the casual side, but I did grow up watching them. I did have Yes Network.
You are younger.
So I'm of the new generation where that could happen.
Yes, you had more accessibility to them. I know exactly what kind of era Jerry is talking about.
Oh yeah, where, agreed.
Like, you know, the certain stations had their teams and the agreements that they were there. So,
and you didn't have all these other extra channels that carry the other teams that you can get in your market at that point.
So the accessibility wasn't there as much for someone younger like you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly where I was going initially when Jerry basically took the rest of it the way home there. Sometimes you just got to annoy other fan bases because, man, can they be annoying. And guess what? So are we.
Yeah, come on. As soon as Josh Allen won that MVP... we went right back at all of the Lamar Jackson apologists, didn't we not? I know I did, because I took the victory lap of thinking he was going to win it the entire time and, you know, really hammering home, it's not going to be Lamar. And all these people are like, well, Josh Allen had a worse statistical year. Well, look at the year before that. It was just a nightmare scenario. And Ravens fans are still kind of insufferable about Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. So I'm ready to get back into that this season. Drake May, the Patriots fans, Portnoy and Barstool all the time with the Patriots stuff. I love to see them fall. I'd love to see them just squirm and be uncomfortable with their team. It's my favorite thing. Patriots fans in general. I mean, I'm up here in updates talking about no more booty calls for Mike Vrabel. I'm ready to go at them with every ounce of my being. I can't stand New England Patriots fans.
Yeah, no.
In fact, if I were ever offered a sports casting job in New England, and you're not supposed to decline any job, I would really struggle to hit the accept button on that one. I really would. Did you hear these clips of these guys after this game? Calling Drake May a high school quarterback after one game?
Dude.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
No. Unbelievable. That heals the soul. Hearing Boston,
for us, it does. But for them, God. For touting that guy for so often is, oh, he's better. Drake May or Josh Allen. They're taking Drake May and all these man on the street interviews on social media to calling him a high school quarterback within 6 months is insane.
Nope.
It's insane.
It could be insane. It could be as insane as it needs to be. When you hear Boston media and fans melt down, there is nothing. chicken noodle soup when you're sick, Boston media fans' meltdowns when your team hasn't played yet. Oh, it just hits different. Mm-hmm. It hits different.
Was it a little harder for you? And, you know, we're talking Patriots here in the first segment. Was it a little harder for you to get to that point of hating the Patriots when Diggs was on them?
No.
I feel like it was for me a little bit. After he was, like, resurging a little bit post-ACL, I was kind of rooting for him when the Bills were out.
No.
But, like, not in the Super Bowl, of course. But
no. I'm starting to think Dan should put up a no counter for how many times I said it, because I'm going to say it again. No. Do you think it was hard to hate the Patriots in any circumstance ever? The answer is no.
It's just a question. It's just a question.
I'm giving you the answer. No.
Okay. All right.
As a matter of fact, you could pit them against literally any other team in the National Football League.
The Tennessee Titans.
I'm going for the Titans.
Wait, what? So you were about to say you could pin them against any other team in the National Football League and I would root against the Patriots, and I say the Titans, and you're like, I'm going against the Titans.
No, I'm going with the Titans.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was so confused. I was like, no way he just pivoted midpoint. it was almost awesome. It still is awesome, but
that's all right. That is the point though. I hate the Titans irrationally, and I would still pick them to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
As a desire. Mostly because then I can make fun of them for losing to the Titans. Don't worry, I get back to my normal ways, but
that's good. That's good.
Yeah, no.
And that'd be a good game to watch for Vrabel's sake, too. I mean, they hate each other at that point. So.
There's some ugly, ugly different universe where Josh Allen at the end of his career ends up playing for the Patriots. Guess what? Don't care.
No.
Exactly. Like
I'm so confused.
Like there would be whatever alternate universe that would be. Where he ends his, like, it's the tail end of his career and he's come back here and everything like that. Nope, don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots need to lose.
Patriots have to lose.
Don't give me anything about potential feel goods for a Boston team. I got McAvoy talking about how dangerous Benson is when he's throwing elbows and low blows
today.
And everything like that. Nah, man. You need. That city and its teams don't need to give me reasons to hate them further. But anytime you do, sure, let's fire it up, baby.
Right. Let's do it. It was so nice to beat them.
I'm
glad that
they're at the bottom of the National Football League standings, along with the Rams. The hell?
Yeah, the Rams. Also, Dolphins and Jets and Bills. They're tied for the top of the AFC East. The Patriots dwindling at the bottom of that division.
Hang on. We also need to look at the point differential here because I need to make sure that New England... Nope. They only lost 13-10, so they're only in second last now.
Who's in last?
The Rams. They lost by 20.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They got blown out because they didn't get enough sleep. We'll get into that on the other side, too. I want to talk a little more about the Rams 49ers game, especially because, we're gearing up for NFL football here in Buffalo, but really in Houston for week one, then Thursday night in week two against the Detroit Lions. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer here with you for Sports Talk Saturday. Rob, stay on hold. We'll get to you on the other side. You're listening to WGR.
Two really good teams. You have a ton of respect for them. Josh Allen leading the way. Really great offensive line. James Cook, man, one of the best running backs in the league. So it's going to be a great matchup for us. But the type of atmosphere that I'm feeling like is going to be on Sunday is going to be that AFC Championship type feel. Like I said, two really great teams battling out. There's been battling these last 2 years since I've been here. It's going to be a good matchup for us.
It's Will Anderson on the line. On the Bills-Texans matchup, excuse me, I was about to say the lineup, but I guess a little bit there too, who knows. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer here with you. Sports Talk Saturday rolls on. We're talking a little bit of Patriots in the last segment.
A little and Hatriots what, you know, right there.
A little, yeah, Hatriots. That I think that's a very appropriate name. I like the Hatriots, so we'll roll with that. Speaking of the Hatriots, we'll get back to your phone calls. Hayden from Grand Island, what you got for us? I think I know who this is, but what you got for us?
Hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, watching the game, I just was thinking that team desperately still needs Diggs. And, like, watching, I think they went, like, 5-for-16 on third down. From a roster construction, especially with A.J. Brown out now, they are going to struggle so much on third down. And I know they had to get rid of him over the off-field stuff. But if he goes out and balls out in Washington, that's going to be a team that is very annoyed with their decision, especially how good he was for them and how good he is with a younger quarterback. But, yeah, just watching that, I saw keep Diggs, send Booty, but now that they don't have anything, I think the Patriots might just end up being Booty. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Nice. Thanks, Hayden, for the call. Much appreciated. And love the booty reference there. Got to say, I agree. I think this team, you heard Mike Vrabel, there's clips of him saying we don't have a deep team to the media. He's very open about the fact that there is not depth on this team. What does he do? He trades away the depth in the one position they had excessive depth at, and that's the wide receiver room. If you had Kayshon Booty right now and you lose A.J. Brown, you feel good about that downfield threat. I'm sorry, not as good as A.J. Brown, but you feel fine. Right now, you're in a spot where Romeo Doubs did nothing for you in week one. I mean, who else is out there? Mac Hollins? Like, come on. Like, you have nothing. So for a team that didn't have any depth in any other position, in the one position they did, they traded it away, and I agree. Diggs, if he balls out in Washington, which I think he will, is going to be a mark on that. They're going to look at that and say, oh, we probably should have brought him back. The off-field stuff is one thing, but realistically, the most recent thing that was causing him not to get signed for a while in the offseason, the court case he was in, was all dismissed. You know what I'm saying? And I know that's not in a total wipe of innocence, don't get me wrong, but there is no off-field stuff with Diggs at this moment. I get it. It's the threat of it coming back. But, I mean, that's a guy, a 1,000-yard receiver a year after his ACL injury. That's a guy you would probably want on your team still if you're me. I'm sorry. I don't know how you feel about that, Derek. But
the thing, because we even talked about this, actually. So I would agree that if you had an opportunity to add a player like that, you probably, like, you entertain it. And the Commanders do eventually. It's the fact that they also traded Kayshon Booty when there was really no reason to do so. You could have just made him wide receiver 3 and let Kyle Williams continue to learn on the job. But, you know, hey, anytime you can go ahead and get rid of a quality third wide receiver, you just got to do it, right?
Yeah, right. It's the way to go. It's the way to live, I guess, in the NFL. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't think I ever will. And I think they're going to – I mean, they're already putting their own foot in their mouth with what they're dealing with at this point. And that's not going to be great for them because, listen, they've got a pretty tough schedule this season. That's a first-place schedule, and not having a deep receiver core is – I mean, believe me, we've seen how the Bills handle that, right? They have Josh Allen. Can Drake May elevate to that same level? I don't think so, and I think it'll be – you know, it'll hinder them quite a bit. But we go back to the phones now. Rob in Connecticut. Rob. What you got for us? Good to hear from you.
Silly, wacky sports talk Saturday with Joe and Derek. What's going on, guys?
Not much. How are you?
You know, I got to hit you up with that. First off, I'm really excited. You guys start off with the lineup for tomorrow. Dude, that's like going to be an all-you-can-eat buffet with WGR 550 tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. 7 o'clock in the morning. Coffee with Callie. Go with it. Coffee with Callie. Do you drink coffee, Joe?
I'm actually so anti-coffee, it's not even funny. So we've got to figure something out there.
Energy drinks like Zach does?
I'm a no caffeine guy. I'm a no caffeine guy. I do not eat breakfast or drink energy drinks either. So
where do you get all your energy from? You're fired up today, buddy. I hear it in your voice.
I mean, I'm fired up. I was born to be fired up. I guess
it's just
because
he's in his early 20s.
I have ADHD and I'm in my early 20s, so I guess that helps, you know?
And Derek, too. I mean, you guys are always fired up. Listen, I'm fired up for tomorrow, really seriously. I can't wait. You know, I've been listening to you about the last two games that were played. You know, it's like, it's the beginning of the season. Don't hate on Drake May. Hate on the fans. But definitely tomorrow, just all I keep thinking about is just get Stroud. Just get to Stroud early, shake him up. I think we're going to be fine. I really seriously think we're going to be fine tomorrow. I have a great feeling about tomorrow. They don't scare me. The defense is tough. I mean, Houston's defense is tough. It's a no-brainer. But, you know, it's always nice to listen to you guys. Looking forward to it. But listen, in about a half hour, one of my favorite, actually my favorite Texas A&M team is going on at 12 o'clock. They're playing the Sun Devils. So I'm going to go watch that game. And then tonight, hopefully Texas takes out Ohio State. Let's go.
Rob, let's go, Rob.
Get the Maggies.
Rob, appreciate the call as always.
If Zach Jones is listening,
he's in his bunker. I know how Zach Jones watches college football. He is alone.
He's a recluse.
The lights are going to be turned off. Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend is probably going to be playing constantly. Zach is a very emotional shut-in when it comes to his Texas Longhorns. Speaking of college football, though, it's a nice slate today. I can't wait to watch Oklahoma beat the fraud out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So much that we need to create a new word for it. But even more so than that, Joe, you know you have a problem when you're about to watch your 2-win-per-year college football team play Wake Forest and the channel is on FS1.
Yeah.
That is what is on the studio right now. And if you were sitting here,
you're watching
with me,
the Barstool kickoff at this point.
I'm not watching it. I am more or less doing my job.
As much as McAfee is frustrating, he runs circles with game day around that coverage.
Oh, yeah, no, because like anytime you have to put Barstool on the television, apparently you just do it, right? Just like how anytime you have a quality third wide receiver, you have to just trade them, right? Just Boston things. But, I have the TV set for Purdue Wake Forest like a sicko.
I love it. I'm in Studio Cali today, for anyone wondering. That's why he's explaining what's on the TV in the studio. So we are in separate areas.
We are in different places today. But, yeah, my absolute sicko deviant behavior absolutely loves what Rob is saying about the college football slate, though, too. I mean, you've got Oregon, Oklahoma State. Hopefully, you know, the Cowboys can make that at least some kind of semblance of a football game.
Mm-hmm. You would hope.
There's not a lot, though, of like quality top 25 matchup caliber games for this weekend. Unfortunately, the real action begins next week. The only one, of course, being Ohio State, Texas, at 7:30 tonight. And it looks like that sound meant that Joe Kelly ended up disconnecting. Oh, where is my Joe Kelly? But to go back to the Bills-Texans, though, point that Rob's calling in about, there is reason to fear the Texans. There is. The defense is scary good. However, defense is something that can, every now and then, have a trajectory or a volatility to it where you're not as good defensively the next year as you were the year prior. Can C.J. Stroud wake up his career after it's kind of taken a bit of a plummet? That's the thing. And as Rob mentions, just get to C.J. Stroud. If you can just get to C.J. Stroud, that is how you end up winning things. Do we have Joe back?
Yeah, we do. We do. Right. We have him back.
That was a weird sound. Did you click the wrong thing?
No, WGR disconnected apparently. So, you know, we got to make sure nothing happened there. But
yeah,
anyway.
Sure, our fault.
Anyway, I heard what you said the entire time. But, you know, so yeah, get to C.J. Stroud. I like that from Rob. I 100% agree with you. Speaking of, you know, callers, let's get back to the phones. We go to Mark in West Seneca. Mark, what you got for us? Welcome into Sports Talk Saturday.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. I'm going to respectfully push back a little bit on your guys' comments about don't hate the players, hate the fans. I typically agree with that. For me, my prime example would be the Toronto Maple Leafs. As a kid, I grew up watching them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the old days, I'm an old guy, with the aerial on top of the roof, spinning it around until you can bring in Channel 11 out of Toronto to watch the Maple Leafs. But they probably rival Boston with the most obnoxious fans in the nation or in North America for any sports teams. Boston and Toronto, so there's a good reason to hate them. But when it comes to New England, I would just like to point out there are plenty of reasons to hate the actual team. I won't even mention his name, but the greatest of all time coach,
mm-hmm.
who on a weekly basis treated people, and I'm not a fan of the media for the most part, but these people are just trying to do their jobs, and he treated them like a jackass every week. in every week, in and out, and just was totally disrespectful to these people on a weekly basis, daily basis. Tom Brady, who, again, I can't stand Tom Brady, but his arrogance has always come out that I hated it. And in dealing with Buffalo, he turned a lot of the conversations personal, to attacking the city and the fans personally when it wasn't necessary for him to do. He had the bully pulpit. He's the guy that's up on the top. There was no reason for him to make the kind of comments he did over the years. We go back to the cheating. It wasn't the fans that cheated. It was the coaches and the players. And we only know what we know. We don't know what other things they did to cheat during those years. And lastly, Robert Kraft. He's had his off, outside the NFL dealings where he's gotten into a little bit of trouble. And conveniently, that stuff got sort of very quietly pushed under the rug. The commissioner never made it a big deal. So, I mean, there is plenty of things personally of the people who have worked in that organization and played in that organization for me, again, just for me, that makes me hate them more so than the fans. The fans are there, can't stand them, but there's a lot of reasons to hate that team other than just the fans. So then I just wanted to point that out, guys. I appreciate you letting me go on and on.
Mark, yeah, eloquently Mark, put, the by call. The way. You had to tiptoe around something, and I think you did it pretty well. Eloquently put. So well done, well said. Yeah, there's enough about the organization itself and members of it, of its past and present, that can make you go, yeah, no, bleep that team. And yeah, when you said, Joe, like, don't you feel like a little hesitant? Nope.
It's a good point. I relive, through what Mark said, and I'm like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I'll walk that back a little bit. Hesitate.
It's okay.
Because there's a lot of history there that's, I was on the younger side for quite a bit of that, right? For me, it was just, this was so fun to talk about for the rivalry uniforms last season and rivalry week. The Bills wearing them against the Dolphins this year, if I'm not mistaken, so different rivalry. But the rivalry that you would pick to wear the uniforms against, before we knew the schedule. And I would have said Miami based on the recent surge of that, right? But even that, we wouldn't consider a rivalry. We would consider it an ownership for the Bills' stake, right? Over the Dolphins. Is that not what the Patriots just had over the Bills for nearly two decades?
Yeah.
So, like, is that really, in my life, much of a rivalry? No. It was ownership. And you were called in to collect every, twice a season every year. You got lucky every so often, but
so much so that
for the most
games
part,
became a big deal.
Right.
Wherever
right.
you
Tom and Brady, I remember one specifically. It was, I forget what year exactly it was, but Tom Brady was suspended. It might have been 2016 for the first four games of the season for Deflategate. And he wasn't playing, and the Bills beat the Patriots in Foxborough 16-0. Tyrod Taylor. And I remember how exciting that game was around here. And I'm thinking, this is where I knew I could potentially do this one day. I'm sitting there thinking, well, Tom Brady wasn't playing. Like, can we really celebrate this? And all my teachers, everybody like that, family members were all excited about it. So I just had to jump in on that and be excited with him. But he wasn't playing. So was it legitimate was the question. And no, it wasn't, because as soon as he was back, it was back to ownership. So
yeah, but
the Patriots.
But where were you when Drayton Florence had a pick six against Brady in one of the more dominant defensive performances they've had against the New England Patriots? Like, mm-hmm. Where were you when Fred Jackson stopped at the 2-yard line and Bill Belichick was like trying everything in his power to get the Bills to score a touchdown? Like, mm-hmm. The games are memorable, even when the teams were not. So anyway, we don't have to keep going about that. We have to keep going forward about the Houston Texans,
that too. We would like to maybe talk about the Rams a little bit too. This became a Patriots hour, which is interesting in itself, but it's all right. It's all right. The Texans will look forward to.
Sometimes it's rent free. We can admit that.
Yeah, maybe sometimes.
Unfortunately.
It's fun to make fun, especially when they lose. It's fun to comment on that.
But we got business to conduct.
We do. We'll be back on the other side. Business as per usual. Joe Calley, Derek Kramer on WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. You know what time it is with this music. It's the Booty Cheek of the Week. Time for the Booty Cheek of the Week. Joe Calley, Derek Kramer. Derek, I'll let you lead. I don't really have a fantastic, Booty Cheek of the Week here.
Mine's
really
the Big Ten Conference from last week.
This is perfect. Go ahead.
A week ago with the secret clock so that Michigan wouldn't lose to Western Michigan. Sure.
There's really no other answer, I feel like. I feel like this is the only one that would really be
what
applicable.
What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The games are rigged. Crowd had a field day with this. Like, any tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that you have about sports being rigged, that game was one of the strongest pieces of evidence you could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Ten's reasoning of, like, oh, there's a third clock that, you know, measures in hundredths of seconds, which no football game ever does.
Mm-hmm. That's going to get instituted because of that game, I guarantee it. They're going to add hundredths of seconds to the clock, the play clock, and the clock. They already have it on the play clock, if I'm not mistaken.
If
maybe not.
If karma strikes with precision, I need Michigan to lose a game in similar manner this year, where they have a win, hold it, there's a third clock, and use it against them.
Well, I'll piggyback on top of this. The fans also storming the field after that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a joke.
That's
Are
like,
we serious?
That's like Bills fans storming the field if they beat the Jets.
Right, right. I just don't get it. I think that whole situation in itself is just a nightmare. I think it's going to have a ripple effect, as you mentioned, throughout college sports and just sports in general, timekeeping, because especially in football, they don't have the hundredths of seconds. And I could see this stupid thing causing teams to put the hundredths of second and, you know, broadcast all of it, because people are going to be questioning this now. But that's been the Booty Cheek of the Week. We got to take a timeout. We're up against the clock. We'll be back on the other side. More Bills Texans preview. All of your calls as well, 803-0550. We want to hear from you. Patriots hate, all of that welcome on WGR.